about fucking so easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
There is one more thing. The network has received quite a few angry phone calls from older viewers about our theme song.
Really? I think our theme song's zazzy.
Unfortunately, elderly people who complain about things are our key demographic. We're going to need a new theme song.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Chucklehead. Dating keyword. So I always stay clear of women who have the terms Kevin and Bean in their profile. I mean, that show's pretty terrible, right? Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, I'm right.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It's not.
I think this is a breakthrough.
No, it's not a breakthrough.
I think it's a breakthrough.
It's not a breakthrough.
I'm pretty sure it's a breakthrough. I'm going to write down breakthrough.
You're writing down breakthrough. It's just a waste of everybody's time.
Break.
That whole pad. You might as well throw it. It does nothing, that pad.
Breakthrough. Anything else on your mind?
And now.
Whatever this is. You shouldn't be doing it with the door open.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 24th of April. How are you, Allie?
I'm good.
How are you, Strike?
I'm good.
What's up, Allie?
I slept a lot yesterday.
A
I'm
lot.
Not going to lie. I took like a 3-hour nap, and then I got back into bed at 7:45.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I was out of it.
Now, what does that mean for today? Because some people, when you get too much sleep,
they're even
you're just
worse.
Even worse than you did with no sleep.
Expect that.
All right, good.
Yeah. Good time.
That's how it works with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
That's good.
I got some calls yesterday, 2 calls.
From Stryker?
No, he didn't
Aww.
Call me. I don't know when love died, but...
Man.
I hate to see our relationship end on so quickly. You know?
You never know what's going to happen today.
Okay, good. And it's people who I'm not really friends with and haven't been for a while, but I'm not antagonistic toward. But
right.
They only call occasionally, and that's basically after we announce a show they want to go to.
Oh, no.
And so they say, hey, how's it going? Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Tell me about your family. Oh, okay. Isn't this
right.
great? And it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Just waiting it out till the very end. Oh, you know what? Got to go. Hey, you guys are having a show?
Unreal.
Just get to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just
lead with it.
Just lead with it.
Yeah.
Hey, I haven't been around a lot, but I'd like to go see this show.
Yeah. Let me get this straight. I call you 4 times on Saturday.
Yeah, didn't pick up.
Voicemail.
Yeah.
Two strangers that you know are going to ask you for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
pick right up.
Stryker asked for my number yesterday, and it's been 15 hours of no goddamn voicemails yet.
What's happening, Stryker?
You know, I just can't call. I need to be in the mood, in the zone. I need to have
you need
a feeling
to be inspired.
Inside. Yeah, I need to have like the proper tuna sandwich in front of me or the proper things happening. The pillow configuration needs to be on point. Mm. All those things need to happen.
Yeah.
What kind of pillow configuration are you working over there with your 3 pillows?
Well, there's one that's flat as a pancake. One's a little softer and one's harder.
Okay.
I have one as a hug. Then the other are shaped like a Tetris.
One is a hug.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that.
It goes from my chin to about my waist. So I'm like hugging it as I'm laying down.
Okay. Like people would that are sad because
like
they don't have a person?
That's right. But I have a person in the bed who's very warm and
right.
snuggly. But I like that the hug feeling. And then you know that Tetris shape that is like an L or a backwards L and it flips around?
Yeah.
That's how the pillow is. But it's like an L and then it goes – my head goes in the corner. What is going on?
I'm not positive.
Okay.
So you have a hug pillow.
I have a hug pillow, yes. And by the way, I used to never care about pillows. The last 4 years, my whole life revolves around pillows. I've stolen a pillow from a hotel.
Nice.
Which I still have.
Wow. I haven't even done that.
I got addicted to the pillows at the Marriott, so I went on their site and I bought 6 Marriott hotel pillows.
What?
Which are now like my go-to. But Al, you seem to like pillows.
I like a specific flat pillow. If it's a puffy pillow, I'm not into it. So I actually bring my pillow with me when I travel.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I bring my pillow with me when I travel because hotel pillows tend to be really fluffy. They think people like that. No, screw that. I like a flatter pillow. I don't like a stiff neck. I don't enjoy that. I like a flatter pillow.
Yeah, I never – it's so weird. Also, I have to have a giant glass of water next to me.
Mm.
The pillow situation has to be all right. And I spend maybe 8 minutes a night fixing the pillow.
You're very OCD.
Crunching it, moving it, placing it, laying down. Nope, not good. Get up, fix it. But once it's set, I'm good.
Yeah. Interesting.
Didn't you learn what the configuration should have been last night and the night before and the night before and the night before?
100%.
Well, how do you still take 8 minutes to do it?
Because when you're laying on it all day or all night, then it's flat while you're at work. Then the dog's on it. I got to fluff them back up properly.
Okay.
Do you ever fluff your own pillow?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know.
Hey, guys, this is Omar here.
What's up, Omar?
Hey, you guys are aware that this is going over the air?
Wait, what?
No, we haven't started yet.
I thought we were just having a conversation.
We're going to start in like 5 minutes.
Got it.
Okay, thank you. What's happening? So that's weird pillow talk.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Literally.
You guys don't get those calls from people who just beat around the bush? You
absolutely
do.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just they take longer than a normal call, too, because they don't want to get to the point that they want tickets.
Yeah, I'll nip that in the bud real quick.
You will?
Absolutely.
How do you do that? If I call them and you don't recognize, or I haven't talked to you in a long time, mm-hmm. and you know I'm just calling for tickets.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take 17 minutes to get to that point. How do you shortcut that?
Hey, I'm real busy right now. I got to go.
Oh,
because
nice.
Those are not people in my life that are there all the time.
Right.
I know you're using me for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut this off.
Okay.
I'm not even going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
So you don't even give them a chance to ask.
No.
Okay. It's pretty sweet, though, when they ask and you go, no.
Yeah, my friends have
never
learned.
Talked to you.
No, I'm just kidding.
My friends have learned because I worked at Disneyland before and people used to bug me for sign-ins.
Sure.
So the same thing. We're like, if you don't talk to me, don't even bother coming around when – but my sister gets texts now. So I told her like the day before, like, hey, you're going to get a bunch of texts now because they always go, hey, I noticed K-Rock announced Weenie Roast. Does your sister need people to go? And like they'll bug her now. And I'm just like, oh, sorry.
Nice. You just worked your way right out of it.
Yeah.
I
they
love
bug
that.
Me, they go to my sister.
And I detest when they're talking to me before they ask for tickets. They're like, oh, I really like your Catch of the Day feature. I'm like, you mean the one Jed the Fish did 37 years ago, which mine is called the Striker 420? Thanks so much for paying attention to what I'm doing around here.
What we're saying is we see through you people.
Right?
We're listening right now. We see through you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yes.
I'd give you an A for effort, but this isn't UC Santa Cruz.
We have one of our favorite people in the world, Rob Riggle, in the studio. Love him so much. He's got a podcast called Riggle's Picks. And he spends a lot of time talking about Kansas City. I'll tell you that. Mm. He sure loves him some Kansas City.
I assume he's from Kansas City?
I think he was born in Kentucky, but I assume he was raised there as well because he does. There's a lot of Kansas City talk, is what I'm saying. And then he'll talk about Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
Then he'll do a lot on the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kansas City.
I noticed that he had Eric Stone Street on.
Yes.
Who's from Kansas City.
You know what they talked about?
Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Okay.
Is it a gamble show or just a sports show?
It's a sports show.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. From what I could tell. I don't know. It's all Kansas City, so I can't tell you. Songs that you had no business singing as a kid today. You used to sing a song with all your heart and all your might, and it's a terrible song. You just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. Well, no. Hold on.
I didn't
know if
care.
It's a terrible song.
Oh, no. It's just terrible that
the
you were
content,
singing it.
Right?
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the word.
Okay.
Inappropriate. Yeah. We're going to tell you about an airline passenger who got tased 10 times. Trying to get him off a plane.
How many did he deserve?
All.
Okay.
All of those.
Good.
And more. We'll tell you that coming up this morning. And also another edition of Who's the Dick?
Yeah.
I'm getting the feeling like the room has already voted against me.
Totally you.
I mean, I feel like you all already have your minds made up, so I need to find a new jury.
I'm going to hear you out.
Will you?
I'm with Allie because when I heard part of the story before, I didn't hear the whole thing and I wasn't listening 100%. So.
How dare you?
Welcome to our meetings.
He is a dick.
All right.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54. Allie McKay is here with our first look at what's happening.
Have you had it with the royal baby already?
Oh, I had it before it started.
Right? That little dick. Who cares?
Right?
Oh, we get it. You were born.
You had a baby. Yeah. Congrats.
Right?
Dear Lord.
It's your third.
Right?
Get over it. Well, what about our royal baby?
I'm sorry. Do we have a royal baby?
Well, The Rock and his lady, Lauren, gave birth just a couple days ago. But I want to read what he posted on Instagram, just in case you weren't convinced that The Rock is the best human being ever. This might just solidify it. So it's a picture of him, and he's in the hospital bed, which, did you kick Lauren out? Not real sure. But he's got the baby just on top of his chest. And he wrote, "Skin to skin, Armana, blessed and proud to bring another strong girl into this world. Tiana Gia Johnson came into this world like a force of nature, and Mama Lauren labored and delivered like a true rock star. I was raised and surrounded by strong, loving women all my life, but after participating in baby Tia's delivery, it's hard to express the new level of love, respect, and admiration I have for Lauren and all mamas and women out there." And then he goes on to detail if the woman needs you up by her head, hold on to her head, hold her hand, do whatever. But then he says, "But if you really want to understand the single most powerful and primal moment life will ever offer, watch your child being born. It's a life changer, and the respect and admiration you have for a woman will forever be boundless."
P.S. See Fast and Furious 7.
But damn, that changed him. That was his third little girl being born.
He has only girls?
Only girls. But the fact that I guess he actually saw the actual delivery, that changed him.
Yeah. Not for me.
No?
No, no.
You didn't see it? You were
no.
up by the head?
No.
Yeah?
No. No, thank you.
Not for you?
Nope.
It's probably best you didn't see
Correct.
It.
Correct.
Yeah. Because it would have maybe changed you in a different way, is what I'm saying.
I'm sure I would have thrown up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that would have happened. Okay. May have fainted.
May have passed out.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have one of those giant, heavy cameras, those ones that people would carry around, the dads would, to hospitals to film everything going on?
Like the VHS camera?
Yeah, the VHS cameras. That wasn't you, Kevin?
How old do you think Kevin is?
I mean, come on. I'm not 80.
With
How dare
the
you?
Strap over it yes. and everything? Good dad.
And not in the delivery room. That's odd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's just for you.
Well, I don't think you're showing it at screenings.
How do you know? Invite all your friends over?
Honey, we got to get this for some likes on Instagram. Come on, smile.
Oh. Well, we now know that Kevin isn't into it.
Just scared of everything that has to do with medical issues.
Mm. Or are you afraid of vagina, Kevin? Do we need to tackle this and other tough issues on a very special Blossom?
Maybe both.
Remember how they would always do that?
Sure.
Tonight on a very special Blossom.
Right.
And it was always like a real serious thing. Your parents would be like, "Should we watch it together?" Yeah. All right. I mean, just put in any show that did that. Different Strokes.
Right.
The molestation episode.
Don't yes. get molested at the bike shop tonight on Different Strokes.
Who was that? Was it Dudley?
It was Dudley. But Arnold was also there.
Yeah.
Arnold left. Dudley had to take his shirt off.
Right.
Yeah, then the bike salesman, not good.
No. Remember?
No. Never watched that show.
Remember on Gilligan's Island?
Different Strokes?
I don't think so.
It takes Different Strokes to rule the world. Yes,
yeah.
it does.
Conrad right. Bain is the star.
Right. I know the show.
Kimberly was the daughter.
Right.
What you talking about, Willis?
David right. Plato. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They had a fish named Abraham.
Just didn't watch it. I don't know.
It's still on, by the way. I DVR it. It's on my... You can come over. We can watch
Who's
two episodes.
Who's got time to watch that? I'm trying to keep up with current shows.
Sounds racist.
Sounds racist.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
You don't like shows with white housekeepers? Come on.
I can't answer that, but I
bet you love Benson, right? He doesn't even know what Benson is. Oh, our 80s references are wasted on
Kevin. I didn't watch a lot of TV in the 80s.
How about Step by Step? We'll go 90s now.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
All right. Seinfeld.
All right.
You know what it sounds like, Stryker? Kevin had a, what should we call it? A childhood that revolved around being outside.
Yes, true.
Very,
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And rarely watched TV because it was inside.
Right.
Therefore, the conflict.
I watched those shows in reruns, not when they were actually on.
Right.
I
same.
Believe. Yeah. It was past, and I love them when they're on. I
do
still watch.
Do you still
them.
Watch?
I do. If they're on, I will watch it. And they're on pretty often on Saturdays and Sundays. I like to also be outside, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love current shows.
But okay.
He's very layered.
A lot of TV watching.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You don't watch any sports.
I do.
Is more of a statement than a question.
I think he's a basketball guy. Right?
I'm a basketball guy.
So you
guy.
Watch
NBA basketball I love and college basketball I love.
Okay.
You're not going to find me. I do like football, but on Sundays I don't waste my day watching football. If I was a gambler, I would. And if I was in a fantasy, I would 100% do it.
Well, you now have Mondays, Thursdays. It's hard not to find a football game.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the Rams are fantastic last year, and they're going to be great again. So I follow the Rams. I love their coach. I know what's going on. I just don't watch the full games, but I love NBA. Love the Lakers.
All right.
Okay.
Just saying that cuts into your TV watching time. That's all.
Yeah, it does. But luckily there's DVR, so I just go here, I go there.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So The Rock had a baby.
The Rock had a baby.
All right.
That's what we got there.
Some birthdays for you. Kelly Clarkson. Joe Keery, who is Steve Harrington on Stranger Things. Oh. Singer Barbara Streisand. Actor Cedric the Entertainer. And actor Austin Nichols. Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah.
See, I always think that.
No.
Who are we thinking? Bernie Mac? See, now that sounds racist.
Right.
I loved Bernie Mac.
That's what's happening.
I don't know that we need you here, Omar.
Come on.
I'm not positive your presence is needed.
I was a waiter for 4 years. Who has more insight on this topic than me?
It's World Famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 621. It's time for Who's the Dick?
Kevin. Next.
So I go out for dinner Saturday night, and one of my pet peeves is people who say we when they're not a part of the group. So the waiter comes up and says, would we like some water tonight? And I say, well, I can answer for me, but I don't know about you. I didn't say that out loud because at that point I was like, ugh, I hate people that use we. And then he brings that. He says, have we had a chance to look at the menu?
It's condescending, isn't it?
A little bit? Well, it's like he's talking to a kindergartner.
Yeah.
Which, in my case, might be dead on. So,
yeah, were you holding the children's menu, by the way?
I was not, because it wasn't there. They didn't have one. So we say, no, give us a minute. He says, okay, we'll be back in a minute. Now he's talking to himself as we. We'll be back in a minute. What the F's going on at this restaurant?
Right.
So every single time that guy comes over to our table, he says, we. How are we doing? Are we liking the food?
How is that a big deal to you?
It drives me crazy.
That's so weird. Because that's happened to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I just go ahead and order.
Does it bug you?
No.
Every single time you talk to me. Allie, does that bug you?
I don't think it would, but I'm not an elitist. so, I mean.
Stryker?
In terms of things bothering me at a restaurant, that's in the top 20%. If they said it one time, I'm all right. But over and over,
I feel like they're
talking down to me. Like, I'm lucky to be there. I don't understand the menu. I don't know what a steak is. I don't. Oh, wow. Would we like it medium tonight?
That's what
steak?
They do.
Right.
Every single time he said
I mean, yeah, that's an exaggeration. But I would say easily 90% of the time he came. I mean, it seemed like every single time he came to the table.
And it bugs you, so you heard it
bugs
extra
me like
loud.
Crazy.
I had a waiter that I had written off within a minute because he said, oh, the appetizer is nom nom. And I literally looked at my friend and I'm like, we can go. And she's like, he won't do it again. And then he said something later about the desserts being amazeballs. And I was like, I'm never coming back here. I can't.
It's that reaction. Yes, it's so strong.
I get what you're saying.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is it? A Denny's? Is it a fancier restaurant?
It's a fancier restaurant. Okay. It's probably a 5.
Okay.
Maybe 6.
Okay.
I wore jeans, if that tells you.
This guy trying to put on a little performance. Because some of these guys do that because
I mean,
they think they're
like
going to get a better tip.
It felt like it, but
really?
But in the end, you'll hear the end of the story. But I'm saying that he would come back and he would say, how are we enjoying our food? He'd say, fine.
Okay.
And he just kept doing it.
Do we
need a refill on Diet Coke?
But I think we all can agree that that is a tough job to have with
Agreed.
All those people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think if the servers would just be cool, not try to be overly cool.
Right.
It would go a lot better. And I think the tips would be better. But we still recognize you got a tough job. You're on your feet. You're carrying
Agreed.
Around food. There's a-holes everywhere in the restaurant.
Yeah. But that's a weird thing to let it bug you that much.
It's not like I made a decision.
Yeah.
To hate
it? You can't control
just
that.
Rubbed it just rubbed me the wrong way. It was grating, and he did it almost every single time he came over.
And he...
Did we leave room for dessert?
Because
he was talking to us like a kindergartner.
Because when I was a waiter, I can tell the people that I needed to treat with a little bit more respectfulness. You know, treat him more like a customer rather than like if I saw a dude like Stryker, I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on?
Right.
And that's how I would talk to him. But then you could tell like the people, how are you, ladies and gentlemen? What would you like? You know, can I get you some water to start
things
off with?
Yeah, you said, what would you like?
Yeah,
that's what you said, not me.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I didn't use me. But he didn't kind of get the vibe that you were kind of annoyed by this.
No,
that's kind
of
shocking.
And I threw in a couple of I would like this for dessert. I would like. Mm-hmm. I threw that in a couple times with a little emphasis on the word I.
Did he say, hey, you should use the word we?
No, he did not. He didn't correct me, but he kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it. By the end of the night, I was livid.
Wow. Me and you outside, buddy.
I don't know why.
We are going outside.
Going in my jeans that I wore here, I got to wrap your neck in them.
In that case, if we're going outside, that makes sense because he's part of we.
Wow. Yeah, that's very strange. When you finally paid and were leaving, did you say, are we splitting the tip? You know, maybe just all encompassing. Make it like a family.
I wasn't having fun at that point, so I wasn't really going to go back at him to be funny. Yes, Omar, with your hand up.
What did the other people that you were eating with think about that? Were they bugged as much as you were? By the dude's attitude or anything else? Or was it just you?
I mean, technically, I feel like it was just me.
Really?
Because we got outside the restaurant, I was like, what about that guy? And they were like,
what are you talking about?
Right. And everyone I was with was like, what, the waiter? He was nice.
One of the best we've ever had.
Oh, my God. He was awesome. He was on point.
So just before we... Yes, Omar. Stop raising your hand.
Was the water, your beverages, was everything delivered on time, spaced out properly?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So just the only problem you had was he was saying we.
Yeah, but it happened every time.
Okay.
But that was the only issue.
Okay.
Food wasn't late, didn't make mistakes.
Food was good?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we like the food? I like it quite well. Inside, I've got this whole battle going on. I'm raging. Right. And the guy has no idea. He probably thinks I'm doing a great job. This is going to be fantastic.
The I versus we war in a restaurant. That's what it is. You were losing that war. You were losing the war.
Oh, Kevin. I was way losing the war.
Yeah,
it had already been decided.
Skin,
right.
In your blue jeans.
I tried to say, what?
Huh?
I tried to say I a couple of times, but it made zero sense whatsoever. So then it got to the tip part. And I feel like waiting is a really difficult job.
It is. It sucks.
And so I overtip.
Okay.
Because I assume most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I feel like, you know what? You're really having to deal with the public. You're doing a really difficult job that I'm glad I don't have to do, to be honest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I tip 25 to 30%.
That's great.
Yeah.
10% on this dude.
No.
What?
10%.
Everything was on point. The weed factor?
I couldn't.
You couldn't take it?
Aren't you embarrassed that he may know who you are?
Yes.
What's
that? Now ask it. Now ask it.
Who's the dick?
You, sir. Are you kidding?
Are we kidding?
Do we generally have a good time when we travel?
I try not to have a real negative attitude because it can really just kind of seep into everything.
Agreed.
When you're traveling. So I let things roll off me, I think, easier than most when you travel.
Stryker?
I'm good with going through security in the lines, but if anyone around me within 15 yards has a cough or a sneeze,
oh, sure.
I'm ruined.
Really?
I hear it. My hearing becomes...
Like hypersensitive.
Yes, yeah. To the cough and the sneeze.
Yeah.
This guy, Jacob Garcia, in Miami, 28 years old, was going to board a flight back to Chicago.
Okay.
And he got on the plane, and this is the worst when you're leaving. So everybody's getting in, they're putting their luggage up, they're ready to go, let's just get this moving,
yes.
And you can take off, and everything will be fine. He starts a ruckus, and he starts yelling at people. And it turns out later that he was one of three people in the seat, and the person next to him was a girl, and the person next to her was her boyfriend. And she said something about him touching her, this guy. And so then the boyfriend and the guy start fighting.
Oh, dear.
So everybody's still putting up their luggage. They're getting ready to go. They're sitting in their seats. They're buckling up. And they start fighting, literally fighting, punching each other. And the rest of people are getting up and they're saying, what's going on? Let's figure this out. So he starts screaming at them, and they all start screaming back at him. And a guy who we're going to play some audio in a second got his phone up, which is the right thing to do, and videotape it.
Right.
And the pilot asked everybody to get off the plane. Can you imagine? You just got on the plane, right. Most likely delayed like they all are, and you got to take your stuff with you when you get off the plane. So some people left, some people didn't because they wanted to see what was happening. Three police officers were brought in to take Jacob out. Jacob fought the three police officers, fought all of them.
That's never. Not what you're supposed to do,
never
correct?
A good idea.
And the officer then stunned him. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just back up one second. So they talk about stunning him, and the guy says, go ahead, see what happens.
Tase me, bro.
Yes, basically. It was tase me, bro. And they tased him, and it seemed to have zero effect on this guy.
Oh.
Zero. He keeps talking, just normally. He keeps asking, why am I being taken off? Why am I being taken off? You have to tell me why I'm being taken off. Go ahead, tase me, bro. Gets tased. He's, why am I getting taken off? Nothing, like he didn't miss a beat.
Wow.
Then they tased him again, two, and then again, three, and then four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten times.
No, maybe their taser's broken.
10 times they tased him.
Yeah.
I would think so, too. Because can you not be affected by a taser?
I think if you're on
PCP or
drugs, it doesn't affect you as much. But after, I would think, 3, 4, 5, you're going to maybe get knocked down a little bit.
10 times they tased the guy.
Get up again. Sorry.
Put it in the file. Yep. Here is the video taken from it. And this is in the seat across from him.
Okay.
And you hear him talking and you hear the police and then you hear the tasing. And it's effing crazy that this guy was able to put up with this. Listen.
Listen. What is the reason why you're removing me from this plane? No?
Okay, now you can hear the pilot still giving instructions. Get off the plane. Do not leave the gate area. We're going to have to reboard in a minute.
Oh, man.
No one's listening because this is going on.
What is the reason you're removing me from this plane?
Now, as far as you understand, they don't have to give you a reason why they're removing you from the plane, right? But the police get called.
Right.
They take you off the plane. That's how it works.
You would think.
There's no legal ground where you can say, I'm not leaving because you haven't told me. It's not like reading him his Miranda rights.
Right.
They can take him off the plane.
Well, you just assaulted a lady for one.
No, you guys are trying to get a social media.
You're racist for two.
What? That's the guy taking the video in the seat. That's not a police officer.
It's the reason.
Please. Do not fight. Do not.
All right, now that's the cop. Do not fight. Do not fight.
Do not fight. Do not fight. Do you understand that?
No. You listen. Do you understand that? I'm asking you right now.
He said we have to tase him. That's what one cop said. And then he continues asking the question.
You can hear
what? Yep.
You can hear the guy's voice. He doesn't sound 100% with it. Like, he is on a sleeping pill. He is on something that has slowed him down.
Really?
I can hear it in the way he's talking.
Maybe, but the flight hadn't taken off yet, so maybe he took it before he even got on the plane?
With maybe a shot with it?
Maybe,
I'm asking you right now, because you have to answer.
Tasing.
Back up, guys. Back up.
The guy in the seat's like, tase his ass.
Right?
They're tired of it. They want to see this guy getting taken off. So the police officer that's holding him down takes his hands off so he can be tased.
Back up. And you'll see what happens.
Go ahead, tase me.
You'll see what happens.
So even if he took something, he's got to know that it doesn't faze him much.
Ooh.
Go ahead, tase me. You'll see what happens.
Maybe I'm hoping that was more of a threat. Like, you'll see what happens. I'm going to sue your ass. Not you'll see my reaction to the tase because I'm made of pure evil.
Right.
Johnson, watch out.
Right. So the cop is saying, Johnson, watch out. And then the passenger that's being restrained says, yeah, Johnson, go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Tase.
You can hear it.
Come on. You're like a little baby.
You're like a little baby.
That's the guy getting tased.
Yes. He just continues.
Oh, my gosh.
Like it doesn't happen. Like it didn't do anything to him.
Whoa. So I'm asking you now.
Tase again.
Yo, dog. Yeah, come up over here.
Yeah.
Tase again.
Sit down.
Sorry. It's just like
a constant stream of tase,
continuously tasing. It's insane, and the guy keeps talking like he doesn't necessarily talk while being tased, but afterwards it did nothing to him, and he just keeps on arguing. It's freaking crazy.
Touch a little bit of that.
Being tased.
Yeah.
Asking the question why he's being taken off while being tased.
Wow.
I don't know what he's on, but
yeah,
right?
He's awesome.
Strong. Maybe he could have taken that big dude.
More tasing.
I have to ask multiple times. Why am I being
Oh, somebody's calling for a...
Yeah, we need the...
I need some nuts. I need some nuts, and can I get a beer, please? This is a good show, and I'm missing it, so can you please bring me some nuts?
You want to remove me? That's fine.
All right, let's go, guys.
You want to remove me?
Let's go. Wait.
All right, so they finally get most of the people off the plane, and they drag him off, and he locks his legs around one of the chairs.
Good Lord.
It's insanity. He gets out, and he's like, you all are seeing this. You all are seeing this. Like, it's the police. Like,
right.
It's their fault.
They're like, we hate you, dude.
Right. So then he stands up stiff like this because they're trying to put him in a cart and drive him away.
Right.
And he locks his legs. So they take out his legs, and he falls, and then they put him on the back of this cart, and they drive him out to front. Before he gets in the car, he full-on goes baby mode where he's just like, falls to the ground so they can't.
Wow.
They can't get him where he needs to go.
Wow.
They take him to the cop car. They finally get him in the back, and he kicks out the back window.
He's like the Hulk, this guy.
Right?
Yes.
But he's 5'7". He's just a little dude.
One of the guys in the background, you can hear him. He's like, wow, maybe he could have taken that huge guy
right.
He was going to fight.
Right.
He probably would have taken that guy. He would have felt no pain.
Is there any way to do that without something like PCP? Like that guy? Because he's not muscular. He doesn't look like he knows how to fight. How does he not respond to the tase at all?
He's on something very strong.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I need it.
Right? Oh, that's a takeaway.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. Time for a look at what's happening with Allie.
Well, CinemaCon is going on in Las Vegas right now, and Quentin Tarantino and Leonardo DiCaprio surprised people yesterday. They came out on the stage to talk about their new movie that they are going to be doing together. This is really interesting because they haven't even shot it yet, first of all.
Okay.
So the movie's written, whatever. It's going to star Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. And they talked to the film exhibitors in Las Vegas, and Quentin said, quote, "The film is probably the closest to Pulp Fiction that I have ever done."
All right.
And Leonardo and Brad Pitt are the most exciting pair since Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Wow.
All right.
They haven't even shot it yet.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Good point.
So
how does he know that?
What? Because there's no accounting for chemistry on air until you're actually, I don't know, there together. But, I mean, that's pretty big praise.
What's the plot of this movie? Does anybody know?
It's during the Manson times. And
Maryland?
One of them, yes.
Okay.
And one of them, I don't know if it's Leonardo or Brad, plays like a Western star. And the other one plays his stunt double. And they are trying to reconfigure L.A. because they come back to L.A. and it's not like the L.A. that they had left.
Oh, wow.
So it's a weird, like, Manson-ish movie, mm-hmm. but not the plot about Manson.
Okay.
It's all very weird.
Hmm.
But to say
they haven't shot
it's,
it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he wrote it that way? He wants it to be that?
Sure.
I don't know.
I would think you wouldn't write it, so you wouldn't think it was going to be great. But, I mean, the closest to Pulp Fiction that he's ever done, I'm listening.
Same.
Right?
That was great.
And I like those two guys a lot of all
Leonardo
the actors.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. I love those two guys.
Yeah, it's a lot of eye candy up there for us ladies.
I wasn't thinking it like that. I like them in their movies. But they are great eye candy.
Absolutely.
They are.
Why not?
Yeah.
I've said it for years. Why not? So the Rolling Stones have booked some pretty cool opening acts for their upcoming UK stadium tour. Just all different great people playing at all different venues, like Liam Gallagher. He's going to take the stage at London Stadium.
All right.
Then Florence and the Machine
all right.
is going mm-hmm. to at the same venue. And then the Specials. No big deal.
Hmm.
And Elbow!
One of Allie's favorite bands.
Favorite band is going to be opening for them in Cardiff. I mean, what? And then, no big deal. We have him at Weenie Roast, but then he's going to open for the Stones at Twickenham Stadium.
Who?
James Mother Effin' Bay.
Wow.
Is opening for the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
That's incredible.
He's great.
He's wonderful. The Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Do you think he's going to be at Weenie Roast? Like, I'm opening for the Stones. Get out of here. Get out of my line of sight.
Why am I on third? I'm third on third at Weenie Roast, yet I open up for the Stones.
Right? He's got to be thinking it.
He would never say it. Nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. I know,
would
right?
never say it, but yeah, I probably would be.
James Bay, by the way, three-time Grammy nominee. Mm-hmm. His new album is coming out in May. And if you're looking for a song that's new by him that's really good, kind of has the Strokes feel to it, is a song called Pink Lemonade.
Pink Lemonade, all right.
Very good.
I'm in. I like Pink Lemonade with vodka. And if you want to have, very few carbs and no sugar, Crystal Light, right?
Okay. I mean, I think Stryker was talking about a song.
I'm just telling you how you can reduce your caloric intake and still get a good buzz.
Right.
It's just what I do. Okay. It's a gift. It really is. You want to sail away to paradise with the Property Brothers?
No.
What is happening here?
The
Drew,
Property Brothers.
The two guys on the show, I think it's on TLC, right?
Yeah.
It's one brother is the
more the builder construction guy.
The builder construction guy. The other one shows you the property.
Right.
And they look at their brothers. They look exactly alike. They have very weird but constructed eyebrows.
Are they twins?
Yeah, they're twins.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Well, here's the thing. They're hosting a cruise from Miami to the Bahamas
this December.
Get this gig? That's my point. Fans can check out design workshops, attend meet and greets with the guys, enjoy themed parties, live entertainment, and two stops in Coco Cay and in Nassau. But here's the thing. They're going to donate $25 from each cabin to provide access to clean water in developing nations. So I support you on that, Drew and Jonathan Scott. But wow, what ladies are booked for that cruise is all I'm saying.
And I'm saying probably none.
No, really? I'm saying that buffet line's going to be filled the whole time.
You think, it's going to be a lot of people going on that because they are in love with Drew and Jonathan Scott, right?
They have a great fan. Like, one of those guys was recently on the cover of People or something.
Yeah.
I was in the supermarket. I'm like, this guy, has he found love yet? Was the headline.
Aww. I don't know who any of those people are.
I'm sorry that I do. I feel bad about myself that I do.
Well,
don't.
Okay.
Don't feel bad about it. It is something. Some birthdays for you. Kelly Clarkson, Steve Harrington on Stranger Things, Joe Keery, Barbara Streisand, who Kevin cannot get enough of. He loves Barbara Streisand.
Is that true?
Not really.
Okay.
Cedric the Entertainer and actor Austin Nichols. And that's what's happening.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Yesterday we announced the 26th. Annual K-Rock Weenie Roast, Saturday, May 12th at StubHub Center, Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, Rise Against, Dirty Heads, Mike Shinoda, Cold War Kids, The War on Drugs, AWOL Nation, Bishop Briggs, Alice Merton, Manchester Orchestra, James Bay, Nothing But Thieves, and Mount Joy. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. 26th annual, though.
Wow.
So yesterday in the meeting, we were talking about our favorite memories from Weenie Roast's past. And there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bizarre things that happened backstage and even where people could see. One of my favorites, and I shouldn't say favorites because it was a terrible situation, but I don't know if it was Bradley from Sublime. I don't know if it was his dog or somebody else in Sublime's dog. Mm-hmm. But it was attacking people.
Oh, no.
It was literally attacking.
The Dalmatian?
No. I think it was a pit bull.
Oh.
This is a long time ago. This is like 94, 95, whenever they played. And it was attacking people, and people were running from the backstage area like with a scratch and bleeding. And they're like, somebody's got to get that dog. Somebody's got to get the dog.
Oh, wow.
So finally the authorities came and they got the dog and they took it out and just.
What?
They took it out?
I don't mean took it out. I mean just took it out of the venue. Took it out of the venue.
Oh,
No. They just took it out and then I'm sure they returned it to whoever owned it. But it's not what you want is a random dog running around backstage attacking people at a concert.
That's not good.
That seems bad. Stryker, you have one?
Oh, wow. Well, That first weenie roast, by the way, Gin Blossoms, Dramarama, and Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
That first weenie, which is good. Over the years, I think one of the great things about weenie roast, you never know what's going to happen. Who's going to be there? Who's going to be a special guest? Which band has a friend there that'll jump on stage? We've seen DJ AM and Pink on stage and Mixmaster Mike and Warren G. But my favorite memory of weenie roast, 311 was playing June 23rd, 2001. Lakers in the middle of winning a bunch of games. Shaquille O'Neal shows up.
Yeah, so 2001 is one of the years they won the championship.
I believe so.
Yeah.
He shows up in a Lakers helicopter, drops him off at Weenie Roast. He joins 311 to perform the song Psycho, which is a Shaquille O'Neal song. Shaquille O'Neal stage dived,
yeah,
over and over and over again. He was in the middle of the pit going crazy.
Can you imagine seeing Shaq?
In overalls, by the way.
Jumping out into the crowd and thinking, I'm not going to be able to hold him.
With no t-shirts under those overalls.
Repeatedly.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But my favorite part of the story is that band after 311 was Stained. Aaron Lewis is the front man. Part of their set is every band member leaves stage and Aaron Lewis plays acoustically.
Okay.
Right when he started playing acoustically, Shaq's helicopter goes up. And instead of just flying back to Brentwood or wherever Shaq lived, Palisades, whatever, it hovered right over the crowd so loud. Everyone,
just to kind of announce his leaving. And
Shaq is leaving.
That's so funny.
Aaron Lewis was so mad. Because everyone wanted to see Shaq in the Lakers helicopter. That was a fun day.
Oh, man.
King of Mexico?
All right, I have two really quick ones. My first weenie roast that I worked, the Deftones were playing the side stage, and I got up close to Chino Moreno, the lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
Another person got really up close and stuck his finger up his nose. What happens?
Is that a thing?
I don't think it was intentional.
That anyone ever
did? I think he was, because, you know, Chino leans in and sings really hard and passionate. So this guy sticks his finger up his nose. Boom! Blood everywhere.
Oh, dear.
Shower.
Oh, that
so you're getting
terrible.
Chino's blood everywhere. It was so awesome. threw him a towel. Just bleeding everywhere. Continue to perform. That was amazing.
That was awesome and amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
What a bizarre
how
thing.
How often do you see a lead singer's nose just explode all over the fans and the fans loving it? You know, you had Chino's blood on you. You take it back. Take it home. Oh, that's a good souvenir. And then another time was the year prior. I went as just a listener.
Right.
And Green Day was performing. And the bassist for Third Eye Blind rushed the stage.
Yeah, why did that happen?
I don't know.
He rushed the stage.
He rushed the stage to go hug Mike Dirnt, from the bassist from Green Day. And Mike Dirnt throws him down and kicks him. Kicks him on the floor.
Yeah, that was only the beginning of it.
Yeah. So then I had to find out more because I obviously didn't have access at the time. That guy from Third Eye Blind threw a bottle at Mike Dirnt, hit him in the head.
This is backstage, off the stage.
Off the stage. And they get into another fight. Mike Dirnt has to go to the hospital. Get stitches in his forehead. More blood. This is what I want to see this year at Weenie Roast. Blood, blood, blood.
I'm not positive
I'm
that's what we want.
I'm getting bloodthirsty. Let's see some blood.
My takeaway from that story is we had Third Eye Blind on a Weenie Roast. Ali, do you have any memories?
Wow. Really?
I just mean you started here a couple years ago.
Because of weed?
Yeah, because of weed, right.
One of my favorite memories, I went a lot as a listener, mm-hmm. but one of my favorite memories was the last one that we did at Irvine. Yes, it was awful that Anthony Kiedis wound up not performing. Awful.
Canceled right at the last second.
Yeah.
30 minutes before. So.
30 minutes before.
Yeah.
Not a good situation. Blink-182, surprise guest. Awesome. So fun. But for me, it was watching Shirley Manson on stage performing their set, Garbage, doing the song Special, when she falls off the stage into the audience, keeps singing, never
doesn't miss a beat.
A note.
I remember that.
Gets lifted right back onto the stage, continues singing, never misses a note. She killed it. Garbage is one of my favorite live performers ever.
Yeah.
But to see that and like witness it in the audience and everyone go, oh, yeah. It was like this instant, I'm so worried. Oh my God, she's the greatest woman in all the land. It was amazing.
I remember 96, we had the Fugees on. The Fugees.
Oh, yeah.
And that year, they had a breakthrough song called Killing Me Softly. And it's really, we played it, but it's the only song we knew from her, basically, from them. And they were super late. Super late. They only had like a half hour. And they got there like 20 minutes into their set.
Oh, no.
And they went out and started playing, and they didn't play the hit. Mm-hmm. They played other songs.
Yeah, probably going to finish with the hit.
Right. And then they were getting told from the side, hey, you got to wrap it up because you guys were really late, and we got another band coming on. And they wouldn't. And they went into another song, which was the Fugees. Mm-hmm. Killing me softly. And the stage just starts turning. While they were playing on purpose, somebody said, turn the stage. We got to keep this thing moving.
Wow.
So they were singing the one song that people knew, and they just faded right into the background, and just another band came out.
And how many times have we had them since then?
None.
Okay.
Zero.
Well, first of all, shame on you all for only knowing Killing Me Softly.
I know what the one
time. It was 96.
Come on.
At the time in 96.
Should I get a date on Friday? Yay, 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 yay. Something's up, Zonny Fuji, coming around the way.
Look, they did.
They did. How about that, Allie?
How about a little Fuji La?
Fuji La, La, La.
That's not the point. They were late. And then they started playing the only song that was a real hit at that point.
Right.
And the stage got turned on them. That was awesome. And then memory two is Kiss.
Oh.
Closing the Weenie Roast. And this is a true story. Bean and his wife were standing there because Bean's a longtime fan of Kiss. And fireworks go off. And one of the fireworks lands in Donna's hair. And they have to, like, pat it out, like, to stop her hair from lighting on fire.
Yeah.
And they just stayed and watched.
Yeah.
And Bean just stayed and watched. And we were like, dude, your wife's hair is on fire. Maybe make sure she's okay.
He's like, I'm a member of the Kiss Army. I ain't
so wow. Bean's wife's hair caught on fire, which is a really weird story. So we're hoping for what?
Blood.
Fire.
Helicopters.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And fights.
All right, let's get to it. After 8, Rob Riggle joins us in studio. We love him so much. Why is Muggs in here? What just happened?
I'm ready to do this break with you guys.
Okay. Allie, you have a tweet to kick this off?
Yeah, it crossed my timeline, and it was, what song did you have no business singing as a child? And my mind immediately went to the one that I not only sang word for word, but I would roller skate to this song. Because my babysitter at the time had a huge crush on the guy at the roller rink. So we went to this roller rink often. And when this song would come on, I lost it.
My white lines go a long way, either up your nose or through your vein, with nothing to gain except killing your brain.
How many times do you think you sang that song?
A ton, but I had moves down. Like, I'd be roller skating, and then all of a sudden I'd jump up and I'd yell, "Free bass!" And I had no idea what this song was about, and I'm yelling, "Free rock!" Like, what? Yelling, "Free bass, free rock" as a five-year-old? Nothing to gain, it's like killing your brain. Like, really? I knew every song word for word. And to this day, I hear the song and I'm transported back. But my God, I had no business singing that.
Were you yelling up your nose and through your veins, just going roller skating?
Yeah,
and they're talking. What are they talking about in that song? I'm not sure.
Cocaine.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. What? Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yes. But God bless you, Melly Mel, for that. That is a quality song.
It is.
Sadly, we've learned nothing from it, because if you listen to the words about the businessman, and the businessman is caught with 24 kilos, he's out of jail and out on bail, and that's the way it goes. Rock! It's the same thing. We haven't learned.
I like that it's not hidden meanings either. I mean, it was
Up, here is what this song is about. Little blonde kid roller skating at the age of 5.
Mudge, do you have a song that you...
Yeah, much like Allie, my song actually has to do with substance abuse as well.
How about that?
As a 10-year-old, when Snoop's Doggy Style, his debut album, came out, of course, What's My Name, and then Gin and Juice was a hit record. Mm-hmm. I would sing Gin and Juice as a 10-year-old, not having smoked Indo or sipped on Gin and Juice, not even knowing what gin was, not knowing what Indo was, but I sure would sing the chorus really loud.
Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Had no money, had zero money. As a
very little mind.
Had no mind.
No mind, right? Nothing. No business singing this.
Amazing.
Stryker, yours?
Mine is not as my song, I don't think, is nearly as cool as Beer Mugs and Alley.
Right.
Because it's going to open up a part of my life to show you a movie that I love, probably in my most 8 rewatchable movies of all time.
Okay.
So I grew up, yes, singing NWA songs and loving Depeche Mode and The Cure songs and stuff like that. But man, do I love Grease. The movie Grease.
So you're saying the movie Grease.
I'm talking about the movie Grease.
And, Grease is the one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, the song is Greased, Grease Lightning. And I was a kid singing some of these lyrics to this, not knowing Danny Zuko, yeah. John Travolta. This is a dirty, dirty song with some dirty lines.
Here we go. With the 4-speed on the floor, never waiting at the door. Here you go.
So they're getting boobs. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's more.
Burning up the quarter mile. Grease lightning, go grease lightning. Go grease lightning, you're coasting through the heat lap trials. Grease lightning, go grease lightning.
What is this? The chicks will get moist.
What?
Yeah.
I never realized that. Yes. Real.
Here's another one.
So to this day, it's
a Palomino dashboard and doom of the tins. One more. Distance looks in shock. I can. You know that I ain't bragging. She's a real. Yes! Dirty!
Danny.
Dirty
song!
Dirty! Yeah.
Good
Thank you, fans
Lord.
And friends, and all gentlemen, you guys and guys. If you worth the while, you gyms and sales, my best pals, look your best, the big contestants, be yourselves, and have a ball, because that's what it's about after all. Forget about the cameras and think about the people. Get the folks home a real big treat. Don't worry about the cameras. Just keep them down. That's your biz. For tapping on the shoulder, move the side, let the others finish the ride. Thank you.
Speaking of creeps, he was the biggest creep in that movie.
Vince Fontaine, yes.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, of songs that you had no business singing as a kid. Do you guys remember Sugar Walls by Sheena Easton?
Yes.
I remember Sheena Easton
very
well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that about the thing that down in the woman area?
Yeah, it's the thing down in the woman area.
I just looked at Kevin and pointed. I had no idea.
What?
My Sugar Walls is about...
Yes, how do you not have any idea at this point?
Now oh I know God. That song.
I'm going to play it for you again because it is pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, my God.
No idea.
Blood races to your private spots.
She's pretty exact.
Very exact, yes. Not hidden meaning either.
No.
Not at all.
Wow.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get your calls and text next. All right, just before Lovely the Band, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Dewey in Riverside. Hi, Dewey.
Good morning, guys. Hello, party people. My song was Big Balls by AC/DC.
We're talking about songs that you had no business singing as a kid.
Yep.
No, because I was in Catholic school when I heard that song, and I was always relating it to dodgeballs or four square balls when I kept playing
it. Big balls, I've got big balls. There's such big balls and a fancy big balls.
Oh, I would love to see Dewey singing that song.
It's all the nuns.
Yep.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call and or text. We'll talk to you next. We're talking about songs you had no business singing as a kid. Let's see. I grew up singing OPP. I didn't know what OPP was until about a year ago. I'm 36.
I want to make sure I know. Is it other people's property?
Yeah.
That's what
sure.
it stands for,
yeah.
right?
Down with
okay.
it?
Mm-hmm. I'm down with OPP.
Okay. Bonita Barbell says that we're reminding her that she had no business singing Me So Horny as an 8-year-old. And then she said, the beauty of having parents who do not speak English.
Oh, that is sweet. All right, let's go to Essence. Are you there?
Essence.
Hold, please.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
There
okay.
you are.
Hi,
yeah.
Essence.
Hi.
All right. What song did you have no business singing?
I was 6 years old singing I Got Five on It.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
6 years old.
I got five on it. Messing with that in the weed. I got five on it.
And did you perform it, Essence, or did you just sing it? I mean, was it a full-on performance?
No, I just sang it, but it was foreshadowing because now I work at a dispensary.
All right.
That's perfect.
Shaped
there you
her.
Go. That works. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Gloria in Norwalk. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Good morning.
What song did you have no business singing as a kid?
And I probably still have no business singing it, but mine was Give Me That Nut by E.T.
And you sang it everywhere you go. You went, I assume.
I still know every word. I had older brothers who were 12 and 14 years older, so I didn't. But I had no idea what the song was about. It could have been about it. I don't even know what I was thinking.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Lisa, who is calling from Downey. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. You used to sing what song as a kid? It's going well. Thank you.
Yeah, good. My niece, when she was like 3 or 4, Ariane Hughes, she used to sing Roxanne by The Police. And we used to have such a kick on it because she would go high pitch and sing how you don't have to put on the red light. And had no idea what she was saying. And it was just the cutest thing.
I mean, that one's not really trying to hide either.
No, it says it right there. She is a sex worker. Yeah. She's a prostitute. Walking the streets.
And there's a Tom Petty song, Listen to Her Heart, where he used to say, you don't want to take her away with your money and your cocaine. And she used to sing that all the time. Had no idea what cocaine even was. She's in her 20s now and sweet as pie, but we still tease her about that.
Does she know what cocaine is now?
I'm going to say no.
Of course she does. All right. Thank you, Lisa, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Grant, who is calling us from San Dimas. Hi, Grant.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, party people. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. You had no business singing what song?
Well, I was in like 4th or 5th grade, so I had to be like 9. And I was singing Lit Up by Buck Cherry.
I mean, he is saying, I love the cocaine, I love the cocaine. Those are the lyrics.
It's pretty self-explanatory. At least mine was White Lines.
Oh,
at least
yours
I was
just as...
yelling free bass. Good Lord.
Thank you for the call. Oh. All right, let's see. Where should we go next?
Maybe line 4.
Line 4, all right. Trying to work these phones. All right, Brandon, hi. Or Brianna. I'm sorry, Brianna from Beaumont. Let's take that again. Brianna from Beaumont. Are you there?
Hello?
Okay, hi.
Hi. So I was about like 6 or 7, and I would get down to I Love It When You Call Me Big Papa.
Yeah.
In the back, like bobbing my head, going all crazy. You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Why? Because I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
I mean, it starts off...
Yes.
To all the ladies in the place with styling grace, allow me to lace these lyrical in your That's the first line. I respect it. God, I love that.
Did movie. You sing that whole thing, Brianna?
Oh, yeah. From start to finish.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to...
All of these songs, by the way, are all like some of the best songs.
100%.
Like the Looney song, I Got 5 on It, one of my favorite hip-hop songs of all time.
Absolutely.
The Eazy-E song.
Come on.
So good.
All right, let's go to Kimla in Torrance. Hi, Kimla.
Hi.
What song
I'm
did
not
you...
Sure what... I'm sorry. I'm not sure what was wrong with me and my friends when we were little, but first let me set the scene. We would put on my mom's, like, negligees and go to the boulevard and think it was cool to, like, be prostitutes. We didn't do prostitution, but we would, I don't know why my mom would even let us do that.
Wait, when you were how old?
Like 12.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So you knew what
yeah,
the
weird,
song
right?
was about.
We used to sing Prince's Erotic City, where we can blink until the dawn. Erotic City, come alive. Yeah, Prince made me very crazy, I guess.
And you would put on your mom's negligee and walk out to Ventura Boulevard, did you say?
No, to the boulevard.
Oh, to the boulevard.
Oh,
my God.
I mean, we would put on, like, her teddies, like, 3 and 4 on top of each other so they were thicker, but...
I mean, really, oh, you were just doing early cosplay. I respect it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast is Saturday, May 12th at StubHub Center. You've heard all the bands. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. More info at krock.com. You can buy them at axs.com. Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
Well, before we get to that, there is a 4-mile outdoor competition. It's a survival experience, if you will, inspired by the wild encounters and well-honed skills of the ultimate survival authority, Bear Grylls. It's happening this weekend. How would you not only like to go? You're going to get VIP tickets. You're going to get a cinch pack, a t-shirt, and a hat for you and a guest. Not bad. If you are caller 10 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you are going to get that Bear Grylls Survival Challenge prize pack.
Do you have time to work in one text before you go to the next story?
Absolutely.
On the last topic, which is songs you had no business singing as a kid. Ashley texted in, Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy was my favorite song when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I thought the lyrics said, Snap My Picture.
Yes!
And I used to sing it all the time.
I love it.
I was DJing at Disneyland at a grad night, and I played Smack My Bitch Up, and an executive said, what are they saying in that song? I don't think you can play that. I'm like, oh, they're saying Snap My Picture.
Really?
Oh, like, oh wow. Okay, go ahead and play
and
it.
And you pulled it off?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well done.
Yeah.
We need to revisit that topic, too.
Misheard lyrics?
Misheard
yeah.
lyrics. Because to this day, I sing the wrong lyrics to an AC/DC song.
Okay.
We're going to have to just revisit that coming up in a bit.
Is Smack My Bitch Up about hitting your vein and doing heroin? That's what that song is about, correct?
You know what it's not about? Take my picture.
Take my picture. Snap my picture.
I don't know what it's about.
Okay. I think that's what it's about. Yeah. Tapping your vein.
I believe so, too.
Okay.
Do you want to know what my song is that
yeah.
I still sing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Deeds, and they're done dirt cheap.
Sure.
Apparently the right lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chief. And I just thought, what a cool title to
Who's
be
the
Thunder Chief?
Chief,
right?
You ever look it up?
And what is he up to, that Thunder Chief? A lot of Dirty Deeds, that's all I know. To this day, that's how I sing it.
Even yeah. though you know that's not the lyric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good times. Good times, guys.
System of a Down. How do you own the sweater, instead of disorder? I heard someone sing that. Wait a minute. Hold on. No, it's not sweater. It's disorder.
Oh, it's kind of lovely as the sweater, though.
How do you own the sweater?
Well, congratulations to Tracy Morgan. His TBS series, The Last OG, has already been renewed for a second season of 10 episodes just 3 weeks after its premiere.
Nice. Wow.
Not bad. By the way, produced by Jordan Peele. What
right.
isn't that man doing that's great?
Agreed.
And, of course, Tiffany Haddish in the show.
Of course.
Who pretty much, I believe, is in everything from here on out. That's just the deal.
That's how it seems to work.
Yeah.
For 2 straight years, you'll see her in every single thing.
Absolutely. Did you guys see Girls Trip?
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, you may say to yourself, what do I want to watch 4 women going on a girls trip to New Orleans for? And I will tell you, it is one of the funniest freaking movies I've ever seen.
Is that Tina Fey?
It is absurd. No, it's
no.
Tiffany Haddish, Queen Latifah.
Oh, right.
Getting jiggy with its wife. Wow, that's awful.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. It's so good. It is so funny. It is so inappropriate. Things happen on that trip that... Whew,
it sounds racist.
I am doing girls trips wrong. It's all...
You see that? You see how white people do?
Just saying. Go see that movie.
It UNITY. Is,
that's a unity.
Yep.
Who are you calling a bitch?
Queen Latifah.
Yeah. That just that took a weird Queen Latifah turn. Speaking of, do we need it? Netflix has reportedly picked up a cartoon series based on the Fast and the Furious movies.
All right.
TV Line reports Vin Diesel is the executive producer of the series, which will be shockingly about his character.
What?
Yeah. He gets recruited by a government agency to infiltrate an elite racing league, serving as the front for a nefarious crime organization bent on world domination. Really?
As probably one of the only people who've seen all the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
Cartoons is the only place to go from here.
Is that it?
It's just been so ridiculous.
They've been in space. They've been, right,
they
everywhere.
Jump from a high rise to a high rise in
right.
a car.
Okay.
I mean, it's just been absurd.
Do you think it's because of Vin Diesel and The Rock don't get along? So Vin Diesel's like, I'm going to make a cartoon.
Probably.
And it won't even star The Rock. It's
he
just me.
Be in it.
It's just me.
Vin Diesel.
Hey, calm down, Stryker.
How excited can you be?
I don't know where that was from.
Neither do we.
I know that I love Ed Sheeran more than most, and I get that. I get that a lot of people aren't super into that little...
Garden gnome?
I was going to say just bucketed ginger goodness.
Sure.
But Apple has scored the screen rights for the Ed Sheeran documentary, Songwriter. The seven-figure deal was made at the Tribeca Film Festival, where the movie had its North American premiere last night. No one will watch that but me. But I respect it. I absolutely respect it. Did you guys hear about these private letters that the late Tupac Shakur wrote to Madonna when they were dating?
Yes. Yep.
Well, it has now been ruled that they can be sold. We can now see those. We can own it.
All right.
What happened was... Madonna had filed a lawsuit against her former really good friend, Darlene Lutz, and said, you can't release those. Those are personal items. And the judge basically smacked that down, saying there's no statute of limitations. Madonna knew all this time that Darlene had these items and only really made a stink about it once she decided she was going to sell them. So pretty soon we could read all about...
Tupac. One of those letters, I believe, Allie, and you probably know more, is he was writing a breakup letter to Madonna saying that I can't see you, and I think the gist of it was that it's going to hurt his credibility in the rap game.
Oh, man.
And that's
really?
What it says in one of the letters, yes.
Interesting.
Mm.
I mean, because...
Right?
Or I'm just making everything up right now, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
But what you're making up makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I can't wait to not only read them, but own them. Who's going to buy that? Anywho, some birthdays for you. Kelly Clarkson, Joe Keery, Steve Harrington on Stranger Things, singer Barbara Streisand, actor, comedian Cedric the Entertainer, and actor Austin Nichols. And that's what's happening.
Rob Riggle joins us in the studio
hey!
Now. Come on.
Hey.
How you been, Rob?
I'm well, thank you.
Listen to some of your podcasts. It's called Riggle's Pick. Rick.
Riggle's Picks.
Hold. Riggle's Picks.
Yes. Nailed it.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
With yes. Sarah Tiana, who we love very much.
Yeah, she's the best.
And you had a one of the players from the Kansas City Chiefs on, I believe.
I did. I'm a Kansas City guy.
Really? I didn't notice that.
I would give it away.
It's impossible to tell from your podcast.
yeah, there's a lot of love. I'm not going to deny it. We had Travis Kelce, who's an all-pro tight end. Many consider to be the greatest tight end in the league. I'm just saying. And then, of course, Eric Stonestreet, who is another Kansas City brother.
I forgot he was Kansas City. I thought you were going to pivot and go Kings.
Yeah.
Because he's a Kings fan.
Yeah, hockey, we all are.
And then, nope, stuck right with Kansas City. I was like, oh, that's right. Stone Street's from Kansas City. How could I forget?
Yeah. But I've adopted my L.A. teams as well.
You have.
Absolutely.
Who do you like? Which ones?
I love the Kings.
Yes. Okay.
Love the Kings. Here's where I get into trouble. I am torn between the Clippers and the Lakers. I haven't chosen yet. So
Clippers.
If you want to vote on that.
Is that possible?
Let's go ahead and
Is
vote on
it. Is it possible to not pick yet?
I don't, well, here's, I you don't. Kansas City, we lost the Kings to Sacramento when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've never had an NBA team, really. And I lived in New York for a while, and I tried
the
to
Knicks
get on,
are terrible.
I tried to get on the Knicks, but I couldn't get on board.
Right.
So now I'm here. I do like the Dodgers in the NL, mm-hmm. in the National League, but mm-hmm. I'm still a Royals guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Royals
sure.
don't play the Dodgers, I got to go Royals. But in lieu of that, the thing is, I got a son and a daughter. I want them to have teams that they can get
sure.
on board with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to let them embrace their L.A. teams.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
My parents are from Boston.
Okay.
Raised my brother and I out here. But the great thing is they got Kings season tickets before I was even born. So I was raised a Kings fan. They stayed a Bruins fan. They raised me a Patriots fan. I can't lose it. I want to so bad. I can't get rid of it. This might be the year, though. This might be the year that I just say, F all of you.
That's not going to happen.
But NL team, the Dodgers.
Yeah.
AL team, the Red Sox.
See,
and
you're
I
same
think
boat.
That's fine.
You're
I
same
think
boat.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My
and
kids
who
already
cares
indoctrinated.
About basketball?
Yeah.
Right? That's my
I
point.
I do. Rob, listen.
Talk to
the
me.
Lakers,
which one?
You, You're a super celebrity. If you go to a Lakers game, the chance of you, you're going
to
be.
He Rob stopped listening. No, surprised he's like, we're to good. Hear that. That's
Rob
all we need.
Is a super, Rob has been in some of my favorite movies of all time, like Step Brothers and the Hangover.
The Hangover,
but listen,
yeah.
If you go to Staples Center for a Lakers game, Jack Nicholson's there. Denzel Washington is there. And, like, I want you to be on the big screen. You go to the Clippers game, you're, like, first on the screen. Rob Riggle is here rooting for the Clippers.
I still don't think I make the screen.
You make the screen. No, either at the Clippers. And you get the applause, Rob.
Unless it's like a kiss cam or something. I'm going to make the screen.
You're making the screen. But Lakers almost average in the championship every other year. So I would root for the Lakers if I were you.
All right. Not bad.
We're
not
getting
bad.
Better. Okay. And I say we because I'm
that's the kind of advice I need from the
but
local.
But you're still undecided.
I'm still undecided, but I will. I know the public wants to know. They're dying to know. So I'm making a public declaration. I will decide by the end of 2018.
By the end of 2018.
And I know because people are losing sleep. I'm getting letters.
Right.
There's
we
been
can't
protests.
Sleep until we know which
of City
team.
Hall. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I will put this to bed eventually.
Yeah. New year, new you.
Thank you.
Who have you had on your podcast that just was you were sort of blown away by and a little nervous around?
Can I be honest? We just started at the end of January. So Travis Kelsey and Stone Street are our first guests.
Is that right?
Yeah, last week was our first guest. Now, today, this week, we have Carissa Thompson from Fox Sports, who is funny and just awesome, and my producing buddy, Chris Peasy, who we've done a lot of projects together. So this is our first venture into guests. The first guest we had was Travis and Stoney.
Wow. And poor Sarah wasn't even in town for that.
That's right. That's right.
That's just rude.
I know. I'm like, you know,
the show must go on.
Life is for the
Life's
living.
For the living.
Cats away, mice will play.
Got it.
Not that she wasn't missed. She's missed. She's always missed. But she was off having a party. It's time for vacation, and I'm in love, and right? All that stuff.
Her and Brockman, enough, right?
She did our April Foolishness, and it was one of the best of the night.
She
was great at our April Foolishness comedy concert. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a dynamic comedian. She specializes in roasting people.
Yes.
I know this because she's my podcast partner, and I think she turns it into a mini Riggle roast every podcast.
I think it's hard for her not to do that.
But she's so good at it, I don't mind. So it's all good.
It's called Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana. That's the podcast. Now, we're going to talk about the movie in a minute.
Yeah.
Midnight Sun. When did that come out?
That came out in March. Came out
in March. Okay.
Yeah, and that was my first dramatic role.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little something different. A little different offering for the kid.
It's just the trailer. I'm like, I don't even know I can do it.
Did you just refer to yourself as the kid?
Yeah. Somebody's got to do it. Okay. Good Lord, I'm getting so old. But yes.
Mini Riggle the kid. I get to be right next to him.
We'll take a break. Rob Riggle is here. We'll be right. Rob Riggle is in the studio with us. One of our favorite people in the world.
Thank you.
Dramatic
Allie
actor.
And Rob are passing notes back and forth
there. He was chuckling at my hot dog on a stick picture. Those were back from my KTLA morning news.
You
days.
Say chuckling, I say admiring.
But thank you.
It came out in the form of a chuckle.
Yeah, I mean,
I was a journalist.
I was so happy when I saw the picture.
Thank you.
That
thank
I was
you.
Like. Oh, my God. That's a great picture.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
Tell us about Midnight Run. Midnight Sun.
Midnight Sun.
I'm getting everything wrong.
Midnight Run was a great movie, too.
It was a great movie, but not the one you were in.
If I hear from you, I'm going to kill you and throw him in a gully. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. You got the Duke already? How about I go down the street and get some donuts?
I swear to God.
I love it. I spend my life with my friends quoting movies, too.
Right.
Just testing each other every now and then, and you just nailed it.
Thank you.
So, well done.
Thank you, Rob Riggle.
Well done.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's talk about Midnight Sun.
Yeah, I was like, everybody back.
How
back,
about that?
Back. Midnight Sun. It's a dramatic film. It came out in March. It's the story of a young woman who suffers from XP, which is a rare disease where if the sun rays hit you, you die. So you have to live, you have to live at night. You basically are like a vampire. So anyway, I play the father of this wonderful, woman played by Bella Thorne, who is dying but she falls in love with Patrick Schwarzenegger, and it's just this amazing love story, and it's a very cool dramatic film, but it's also a lovely love story as well.
How did you get that part? How did you?
I had to sing for my supper on that
did
one.
Did you?
Yeah, because Hollywood, if you do something right, they like to keep you in your lane.
Of
so I stay in my comedy lane for the most part.
Right.
But I can do other things, and I know I can. But to get that opportunity is rare. So I just kept bothering my agents and bothering putting the word out that I'm looking for dramatic roles and I want to try. And so they said, all right, come in and
listen.
And,
if you leave us alone.
If you leave us alone, come in. And so I went in and I read for it and I got it.
How do you think you did after the audition? Did you think you did great?
I thought I did. Here's the thing. I hate auditions. And every audition I leave judging myself. Relentlessly.
What right? You could have done better.
Yeah, of course. And I'm like, I nailed it in the car. Why didn't I nail it in the room? Yes. I think that's every actor's story, right? So,
right.
But I walked out of that going, I don't hate myself, which is for me is huge.
Right.
So it obviously worked out because I got the role.
As you said, comedy has been your wheelhouse for as long as the public has known you. Yeah. At what point did scripts come to you? Were like, Rob Riggle's our dude for this, and you didn't have to go in and read? Or do you read for most things, have to audition
for
them?
No, I'm very fortunate. I've been able to progress past that. So I do
great,
get offered a lot of roles.
That's pretty sweet.
But I'm not above going in. You know, I mean, if it's the role's right and I want it, and they're like, well, it's for Bateman, not for you. I can't tell many times I've heard that. But I'll go in and I'll work for it. I'm not, you know, no one's giving away anything. You know, if you want it, you got to go get it. And so I'm more than willing to go do that. But I'm also blessed that I've done enough that every now and then I get offered something.
And your podcast, which has a lot to do with sports, did you end up in the sports world thanks to comedy, or you always wanted to do sports and then comedy happened
to happen? I don't know. You know, I am a huge sports fan. I do love sports. I've never kept that a secret. I talk about it. I used to talk about it in my stand up, and I haven't done stand up like in 6 years, but I used to talk about it a lot. I got offered hosting the ESPYs. And so I did that and it went well. And then from that, I ended up on Fox Sports.
Right.
And then, so I've kind of just morphed into this thing more than anything.
That's not something that you went after actively. You just loved it. And
I do. And so it's easy. It comes natural. I like talking about sports. I like talking about, the players and the game. And I find it to be one of the most bonding things in the world. I can go anywhere in this country, man or woman generally, and if we have nothing to talk about at all, I can say, where are you from? And they'll say, I'm from Cincinnati. I'd be like, oh, man.
The Reds suck, huh?
The Reds are having a great year. Or the Reds suck. Or, you know, sorry about the Bengals.
That's kind of a constant.
But it's the old thing of like fathers and sons. You know, when they had nothing else to talk about, you could generally talk about sports. Mm-hmm. And that got you through some of the rougher times. And so sports entertainment, too. It used to be not political, but it's gotten more political because I guess everything has to be politicized. But it was a safe place, you know, sports entertainment. You could go and catch a game, and all that stuff got put on the side. It got all put out of your mind for a while, and you just got to watch a game. And so I don't know. To me, it's a wonderful thing, and it connects people.
Well, the podcast is called Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana, and the movie is called Midnight Sun. Do you mind if we do 60 seconds with you?
Sure.
Just
let's
go in the back.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Is that 60 seconds in the closet?
I mean, it could be if that's what you're looking
Gone
for.
Gone 60 seconds in the closet.
I've been lonely, guys. Let's do it.
60 seconds with Rob Riggle. How much money do you have on you right now?
Right now, I have $200.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No.
When you first tell them, what percentage of people don't believe you were in the Marines?
50-50.
It's 50-50?
50-50.
What's the thing most people would find surprising about you?
I'm actually a very sensitive guy.
What were you like in high school?
I was voted most humorous in my high school class.
What's the most embarrassing TV show you enjoy?
Oh, God. Probably one of the Disney shows that I watch with my kids.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh,
I mean, it's porn. We all know that.
Yeah, no, it was God. What was it? It was a car. It was a car. It was a.
Is it red?
No, it was like a. Why am I blanking on it? Bugatti. It was a Bugatti car. Right. I was looking at my son. Was fascinated by those.
What?
Sorry. One more. Do it. Do it.
I was going to ask you what the movie you rewatch anytime it comes on.
Caddyshack, no matter what.
Caddyshack.
Yeah.
If I'm in for 5 minutes, I'm in for the whole thing.
Right, that's right.
Rob, you're the best. Thank you for coming in
today.
Thanks,
man.
Totally appreciate it. Again, Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana is available on iTunes and podcastone.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Ally McKay is here. What's happening?
Well, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
The Prince vault seemed to be just opening up. Just a few days after his original, previously unreleased studio version of Nothing Compares to You dropped, Variety says that a full album of Prince material that we haven't heard is due out on September 28th. Okay. No?
I don't know. You tell me, because you're a Prince fan. Mm-hmm. He put out a lot of music.
Yes.
And a lot of it wasn't good.
Yes.
Okay.
This will all be from his years on Warner Brothers, which I think, to me, that was some of his best stuff.
All right.
When he started getting a little more experimental and doing, you know, stuff like that, maybe a few of those could have gone by the wayside, and yeah. by a few,
most,
many.
Yeah.
yeah.
But don't you think he did experimental music, you guys, because it's just kind of so good and such yeah. a wizard. He's like, I think I'll go this way
Absolutely.
For a little bit.
You tackled this. You already have your hits.
Yeah.
Why not do something that kind of challenges and intrigues me?
That's
Absolutely.
Right.
He was a genius, and I can't imagine that mind at rest was something that he enjoyed.
And I know we say it all the time. You played so many instruments and did them all in the songs.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm excited for any new Prince music, to be honest. There's also two new websites, one that's already live. It's called princetome.com. You can go there, leave your personal thoughts, like what he meant to you. And then the second is a discography. wow, it's like my amphitheater.
Yes.
I can't say it. The second is
discography,
which is still in the works. I hate you. We'll wait. You're so happy.
That would have taken me 10 tries to get that.
What was the one word that you can't say? Remember we went through
there's
and talked...
There's a lot of words that I can't say.
Rob Riggle's podcast name?
Come on.
That was tough. But there was one word in particular that you had a hard time with.
I don't remember that.
Moshe Kesher?
Sure, his name, sure. I was not good with him.
Mine, you know mine, I hate to say it. Like
amphitheater.
Irvine Meadows.
Amphitheater.
Sure. I always added an L.
So,
amphitheater.
Oh.
Don't know why. So now I consciously have to say amphitheater. Amphitheater.
It's not amps.
Amphitheater. Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Say toy boat four times fast.
Toy boat, toy boat, toy boy, toy boat.
See?
Whoa.
Can't do it.
Oh, let me know when we're on the air.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Sorry, I'm just like, give me Red Bull.
Give me less Red Bull.
Oh, I love him.
Guys,
such a wacky
I'm having
doodle.
A great time with you. I really am. I'm very happy I get to be here.
That's we're happy all. You're here too, Stryker.
Absolutely.
You're the best.
Thanks.
Also happy that Nile Rodgers has a new album coming out under the band name Chic.
Sweet.
He told Pitchfork.com at Coachella that it's about time. Guest appearances from Haim, Bruno Mars, Debbie Harry, and others. What?
Yeah.
That's quite the trio.
Yeah.
Wow. Album will be out before the end of this year. Speaking of a genius.
Yeah.
That Al man, Rogers. Right.
He is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
He did a lot of the work on the Ram album, the Daft Punk album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. Nile Rodgers, we've heard of him for years. And then all these artists continue to gravitate towards him. And
yeah.
He does such good work.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hitting the Road to celebrate their 20th anniversary of their 1998 album. Version 2.0. Garbage. Hitting the Road, you guys,
yeah.
and a newly remastered deluxe edition of version 2.0 with a bunch of bonus tracks is due out on June 22nd.
All right.
I looked at their list of cities.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. not on it.
Not on the list.
I'm going to keep checking into that because what the hell, Shirley?
Right.
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 Okay. Very good.
Agreed.
I would like to do this as a phone topic, possibly, because Meg Ryan and John Mellencamp they're enjoying a retread of their relationship. They're back together. However, he has a nasty little habit that's causing some serious problems.
I'm not even going to say it.
Well, it's turns out it's smoking.
Oh,
okay. She has asked him to cut back to 5 smokes a day, and he's super moody, shaking like a leaf. She threatened to leave him. I think that would be a good phone topic. Like, what is the deal breaker for you?
I
right?
like that, Allie. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a really difficult thing to give up.
If you've been smoking for as long as John, I mean, he smoked back when he was a cougar, right?
Yeah.
that was his. That was his. I mean, Google that, kids. I'm just saying, what would the deal breaker be? Like, I broke up with the guy because I didn't like his thumbs. Like, they just looked weird. They look like toes. And I thought, that's shallow.
It was.
It totally was. It was shallow. But they look like someone reattached a toe to his thumb.
Okay.
Do you want to look
Did
at
he have
that?
Any control over that?
No.
All right.
Just saying. Deal breaker. Dumb deal breakers. Or
dumb
legit
deal breakers
deal.
Is good.
Yeah, dumb like deal dumb. Breakers. All right. Jot that down. It's like we're having a production
I love that.
Meeting
I have
right
a great
here
list.
On the air.
I will roll up my list like a Torah. I will just roll it all out
wow.
in here and just read it from right to left.
Stryker probably has 100 things on it.
Yes.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Some birthdays for you. Actor Austin Nichols, Cedric the Entertainer, Barbara Streisand, John Keery, Steve Harrington from Stranger Things,
yeah.
and singer Kelly Clarkson.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
That movie. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42. Allie McKay, what's happening?
I watched Macaulay Culkin on Ellen.
Okay.
And normally I wouldn't be like, oh, this is must-see. He was so funny and talked about how he doesn't leave the house at Christmas time. And it occurred to me as he was saying it, oh,
Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
Yeah.
And he said, it's basically my season. And I thought that was so funny that wherever he goes during Christmas, people are like, no, Home Alone kid, more so than any other time of year.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of cute.
That is funny.
And he said he does not do the face. Do not ask him to do the
I
face.
I can imagine.
Can you
would
imagine
be so annoying.
Decades later? Yeah. Like, come on. I have moved on. And you're never going to hear Melissa McCarthy complaining about the high price of fame. She told Glamour magazine that, quote, the best thing I could have done was struggle until I was 30. She always assumes that every job, his or last, and she said something that I think we've all talked about, too, that she probably would have been cuckoo if she made it as a teenager.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Which is so true. Like, you can't really fault kids that become kind of a pain in the ass because they got everything handed to them during their most, you know, pivotal years. Pivotal?
Yeah.
That was a hard word. It's catching, Kevin.
Pivotal.
Good Lord. Also,
words are difficult.
Yeah, it's a tough day. Mm-hmm. Also in this interview, she says that she'd never spend her money on a reptile. And I thought that, okay, thank you. It was just a weird, what? She is the best.
She is the best.
We had her on Stryker probably a year or two ago.
Right?
And she is one of my like top like heroes. Love Melissa McCarthy. Couldn't wait to talk to her. So they set it up like, oh, Allie is such a huge fan of you. Can't wait to chat. And then I started talking and she goes, I got to go. And pretended that she hung up. And I was like, that was
right at the beginning
awesome.
Of Allie talking.
Oh, she's incredible.
I got to go.
She is kind of my favorite person. The Rolling Stones have booked some pretty amazing opening acts for their upcoming UK stadium tour. Liam Gallagher is going to open. Florence and the Machine is going to open.
All
the
right.
Specials. My favorite band, Elbow, is going to open. And then I saw their hometown gig. No big deal. Twickenham Stadium. No big whoop. James Motherfreaking Bay.
Weenie Roast Artist.
Yep. Weenie Roast Artist is opening for the Rolling Stones. You guys, that's huge.
I think that's a good choice.
Absolutely.
He's super talented.
Absolutely. And if you get to a show, like, at a huge stadium, you're getting there, you're finding out your seat. You're usually getting there a little early anyway because the crowd's getting in there.
Sure.
You actually can enjoy the opener. And for people that may not know James Bay, that's going to be a real delight to those people's ear holes.
I don't know if the band had the decision on who they're choosing.
I assume they
it's
always
the Rolling
do.
Stones.
But you think
Unless
Mick
they
Jagger
care.
Is like, I saw this young bloke on YouTube. Let's bring in James.
I don't know. Unless
I mean,
they don't
I
care
could,
and somebody else picks. But
I could see them, though. I mean, just who they are, I feel like they're very in tune musically. And they still stay up to date.
Right, but the thing that I wanted to get to is fans of the Rolling Stones, mm-hmm. I feel like would like the bands that are actually opening up for them.
Oh, agreed.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's a really, really good fit.
Yeah.
The Struts, who have opened up for the Rolling Stones, have been opening up for the Foo Fighters. And that is a perfect fit as well. I love the Struts, who are doing Three Nights at the Roxy coming up in May.
All right. That's your Struts update.
Yeah, that...
I will say this.
Sorry, Allie.
No, I will say this about a band that I have come to love. And it's kind of absurd how much I love this band. But they've opened for Weezer. They've opened for The Killers. They are so freaking good. And I want everyone to go and get their new album.
Yes.
Public Access TV. It's an album called Street Safari. I love their first album. Love them, love them, love them. And then their second album came out last month. You guys, if you like... It, I don't even want to say this is who they sound like because I think that sucks when you kind of pigeonhole, but it's like a Clash meets Big Audio Dynamite meets the Ramones.
All
just
right.
All squished into these young yeah. guys from New York City. I'm telling you, Public Access TV.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. I'm dead serious. I never thought I'd get a chance to kind of promote them here on the radio. I know. It's true. So, Public Access TV, look into them. I also manage them on the side.
Do you? Wow, that's
no,
not true.
No, that is not true.
Conflict of interest.
Thank God.
Right? Conflict of what?
Of what?
Interest.
Okay.
Conflict of interest.
It came out influ.
No. Words are hard.
It's a tough day.
Words are difficult today.
It's going to catch up with you tomorrow, because I caught it today.
Don't
gonna...
jinx me, Allie McKay. Anybody that's around me
yeah.
gets it. Sorry.
You definitely get it.
If you
Sorry.
Jinx me, I will give you another Struts update tomorrow.
Listen, I'll take your Struts okay. update and raise you a Public Access TV update. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you guys.
Yes.
He's on Dancing with the Stars coming up. He said... Even at 71, even throughout his whole career in basketball.
He's 71.
71. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow. He has never worked out like he's working out now to prepare for the show. I'm telling you, that show,
that.
If people, if they were smart, that Dancing with the Stars, they would come out with a Dancing with the Stars
workout.
Like workout yeah. because everyone that goes on that show leaves with the most rockin' bod ever.
Psycho Mike went on that show, and he's in great shape all
yes.
the time, and he said it almost wrecked him. I mean, it was really tough.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I do not watch that show, never have.
I
no
want to watch
interest.
Kareem Dan.
I am watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar like it's my job. I cannot wait for that. Right?
It's going to be weird.
Yes.
Did you guys watch that diving show, Celebrities Diving?
Oh, Splash?
Yes.
Yes, with Baskets, Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson, the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if it's on YouTube. Louis Anderson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were placed like 40 feet above. were placed 40 feet above the water in a diving. On a diving board.
Striker is red.
And they were told to dive in unison.
Striker is crying.
Louis Anderson. flopped over. And Kareem. Flopped off this 40-foot high dive.
It's finally catching up.
It really is.
No
Stay
sleep.
On target.
This unison dive they attempted.
And was it beautiful?
It was the funniest thing. They both back flopped off this
oh,
thing.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, sorry. And it was just funny. Just a 7-foot-1 man and Louis Anderson diving in unison from 40 feet above the water. Oh, man.
I wish I saw that.
I feel like we need Stryker to break down Splash.
Agreed.
Episodes. His
Agreed.
Glasses are fucked
up. Oh, my God. My glasses are so fucked. That's how much I love that 10 seconds of life. It was 10 most happiest times of my life was watching that. Well, when that happened.
10 seconds?
No, yeah,
ten,
the 10
seconds,
seconds
of your life?
Was in the top 10 moments of my life happiness right there
like
watching that dive.
Years might be having children, right. getting married,
right.
Stryker's
yes.
top 10.
That was in my top
okay.
10 of life happiness, watching Louis
Anderson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar diving.
In unison from on a high dive.
You guys, I love having Stryker here.
I do
Thank
too.
You.
Because people used to think I was the nutty one.
Right, and now they know.
Right?
Oh, man.
Yep.
I love it so much. Ooh. Some birthdays for you. Barbara Streisand, Cedric the Entertainer, Austin Nichols, Kelly Clarkson, and Steve Harrington from Stranger Things, Joe Keery. Let me say Kelly Clarkson again.
Whoa, Kelly
no!
Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson!
I saw Chip go, mad that I didn't say it last. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, and your drive home today. It's 9:51 right now. Coming up at 10, Kat Corbett has the official lineup announcement for the Life is Beautiful Music and Arts Festival in downtown Las Vegas.
Excellent.
That's such a good festival.
That's coming up at 10 a.m. with Kat Corbett, so make sure and listen for that. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Are you addicted to social media? The most shallow deal breakers. Allie broke up with a guy because of his thumbs.
They look like toes.
And Nick Hexum from 311 will join us as well tomorrow.